Let's turn our thoughts to God's Word this morning then. We're still in this series of looking at what we've called life's most important questions. And there's one or two yet that perhaps I would like to consider with you in the next few weeks before we draw this to a conclusion. This must be about the sixth week now, so we've looked at a number of issues already, and today I want to put before you the question, why do I feel so alone? Consider the whole question of loneliness. It is a subject we've looked at in the past, but I want to consider it under that question this morning. Why do I feel so alone? I'm sure there are times in the experience of every one of us in here this morning when, for various reasons, we have felt utterly alone. You can feel alone in the midst of a lot of people. You can feel alone at work, for example. You can feel lonely in church. You can feel very alone in the midst of society. You don't have to be shut away like a hermit to suffer these feelings. I came across this little story which quite amused me. It really comes from Russia. Russia, where they drink vast quantities of vodka. And a Russian company has come up with a very novel idea. For those in that land, no doubt the idea will catch on here sooner or later as well, but specifically designed for those folks who drink vodka alone. And what they've done is they've come up with a new product. It is a cap for the vodka bottle. And using modern technology, they've been able to build into that very small space of the bottle cap some interesting features. For example, when you unscrew it, it begins to laugh and giggle with you. Then as you take it off the bottle, it proposes a toast. There is a synthetic voice inside the cap of the bottle. And this can become your companion while you're drinking your vodka, your drinking companion. And the more often you unscrew the cap, the more slurred the speech from the synthetic voice becomes. I don't know if that sounds very helpful. It's certainly creative. You have to give them top marks for that. But the point is, and the reason behind that kind of approach, is that there are many people in society, in countries spread right across the world this morning, who are feeling desperately alone. Why is that? For many, drinking is the one way out. It is the way in which they try to find some kind of comfort or solace in the midst of their loneliness. There's a recent survey being carried out which indicated that 26% of those who were polled indicated that they felt very lonely in the past few weeks. So if you look around even a small gathering like this morning, and apply that statistic, 1 in 4 in here today probably is feeling lonely. Stephen Covey wrote a very interesting book. I don't know if any of you have read it. The 7 Habits of Effective Families, or 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families, it is more correctly. And this is what he writes. In the past 30 years, the divorce rate more than doubled. The percentage of single-parent homes more than tripled. The teen suicide rate rose almost 30%. And the number one health problem, he writes, for women is domestic violence. Startling statistics. Someone wrote this poem. Loneliness, why don't you leave me alone? You've been here long enough. It's now time for you to be gone. I'm tired of being sad and sick of feeling blue. Find somewhere else to go. I'm fed up with you. Loneliness, why do you make me cry? Do you know or even care? You're killing me inside. You were never invited, so why did you come? I checked the guest list twice, and your name wasn't one. Loneliness, why make a hostage of me? Love and happiness are waiting. Why don't you set me free? Someone will love you, but you're just not my type. You see, I like to be held close and loved during the night. Loneliness, are you soon to say goodbye? I'll help you pack your bags, and I surely will not cry. Well, you're set, and I'm ready for you to go. Please don't return, and my name and address forget you even know. It's no wonder that there's so much loneliness in our world this morning. Look at your diary. We fill our schedules from wall to wall with events. Our time is very carefully divided up every week, meeting after meeting, phone call after phone call, event after event to attend, and so on and on it goes. And we have all this activity. We have all these people around us all the time. But in the midst of that, we rarely connect deeply with anyone. Is that true in your life this morning? Perhaps the name of Winona Ryder will be familiar to most of you. She was in the news not all that long ago. This is what she wrote on one occasion. Let me quote. When I was 18, I was driving around at 2 a.m, completely crying and alone and scared. I drove by this magazine stand that had a Rolling Stone magazine that I was on the cover of, and it said, Winona Ryder, the luckiest girl in the world. And there I was, feeling more alone than I ever had before. I think the psalmist felt something of this. Read through the psalms, study them again. In Psalm 25 he wrote, turn to me and have mercy on me, for I am alone and in deep distress. You ever felt that way? I'm sure most of us here, when we're honest, would say, yes. There have been times in my life when I have felt like that. I identify with what the psalmist is saying. So today I want to try and help us to find some solutions to the problem of loneliness, for problem it is. But first of all, I think we need to look at some of the reasons for loneliness. And having looked at the reasons, we'll then try and find a solution for each reason. So I hope you stay with me. I apologize, I don't have PowerPoint today. Simply ran out of time. So let's try and look at the reasons. Now, it's important to say that there is no one reason for loneliness. There are many, many reasons, and we can only but scratch the surface of that problem this morning. So what I want to do is to bring you just 4 reasons and then try and look at 4 solutions. Reason number one that I would come up with for loneliness is that people are saying that they have no meaningful, underline that word, no meaningful relationships. Oh, they interact with people on a daily basis. That is part and parcel of being alive. But they have no meaningful relationships. Some people are lonely simply because they have no relationships. None whatsoever. But most of us have. But those relationships lack any real depth of meaning whatsoever. Let's go to the Psalms again. Psalm 142. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. So wrote the psalmist, Psalm 142, verse 4. And when David wrote that, he was being hunted like a wild animal by Saul. He was experiencing one of those most difficult experiences in life. And he felt that in that situation, there was simply no one who cared about him whatsoever. There was no one coming to his aid. No one took notice of his dilemma. Have you ever felt like that? You're wrestling with some problem in your life, and it seems that there is no one there who is in the slightest bit interested about you or your situation. Oh, there's plenty of people around you, but no one who really cares. No one to share with. And for whatever reason, the relationship never goes below the surface. No meaningful relationships. And in the midst of that, we feel all alone. Reason number two is that many people are lonely because they fear rejection. And that's very common in our world today. People are so afraid of being rejected in different ways. And so they make no attempt to really build relationships, proper relationships, with anyone. And the result is that they become more and more, progressively they become reclusive. Now let's be sure what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about those natural feelings of shyness, but of actually staying away from people. Staying away from situations where a friendship could well be built. And the more they find themselves demonstrating this kind of behavior, they even begin to reject themselves many times, because they feel deep down that they're simply not worthy of forming that kind of relationship. No meaningful relationship, fear of rejection. Thirdly, many people are lonely in today's world because they have been in abusive situations. This seems to be getting more and more common. I read of one person whose life was as bad as it could possibly be. Her mother's boyfriend raped and beat her for years. Her mother ignored the abuse that she knew her daughter was suffering. And she said, "The older I got, the more I fought with this guy. And then the more violent the rapes became. He said if anyone ever found out what was going on, he would kill them." And eventually she escaped. And she found a life developing through drugs and alcohol. Eventually she began an acting career and put an end to the destructive behavior that was going on in her life. And one day she visited her doctor. Doctor's visit brought news of internal damage that had been caused to her through years of abuse. She would have to go undergo an operation for cervical cancer. And this increased the feelings of rage within her for this man who had done so much to her, who had abused her for so long over the years. But she described the operation as a turning point in her life. This is what she said. "Even though I didn't know God, He began to heal me. Before I fell asleep in the operating room, my doctor leaned over and said, 'When you wake up, there won't be one spot in you that man has touched. You will be clean.' When I woke," she said, "my body was my own. My doctor will never know what a gift he gave me that day." And there are many in our world this morning who are suffering abuse in different ways, whether it be physical, emotional, sexual, spiritual, or something else. And often problems come through that kind of experience. How can they ever really trust anyone else again? And so they go through life alone and sad, often afraid. Then fourthly, there are those who are lonely because in one way or another they feel that their heart has been broken. Proverbs 15, verse 13, "A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit." And that is so true. Your heart may be broken by some failed relationship. Your heart may be broken by the death of someone close to you. It may be broken by a friendship that has crumbled for some reason. Oh, there are so many reasons. You want nothing more than to have your heart healed and to begin again to build healthy, life-giving relationships. But within you, your spirit is crushed and you don't know where to turn. Heart can be broken. Well, there's four reasons. You'll find many others, I'm sure, if you try and tease that out for yourselves. So what are the steps then that are necessary to restore that kind of life? Because I truly believe that this feeling of loneliness, of being without anyone to really relate to in today's world, is one of the strongest weapons that the enemy is using against God's people. It's when we are at breaking point that the enemy comes into our lives so easily and he tries to take control of us in our weakness and tries to lead us into a sea of total despair. He tries to take us to that place where there is no possibility of our return. But there is hope. There is hope in God's word, and this can be overcome. And I want to give you four steps to try and directly answer those reasons that I gave you a moment ago. So what were they? Well, if your problem is that you have no meaningful relationships, which is the first reason we dealt with, then the steps to restoration are that we need to accept our position within God's family. We need to reestablish that in our thinking. We need to be sure of where we are as a child of God. If you are a Christian this morning, there are meaningful relationships all around you, just waiting for us to take advantage of them. For anyone not a Christian, when you become one, then you discover where those relationships are to be found. There is a sense that in simply knowing the fact that I, as a Christian believer, I'm a member of God's family. That fact alone should assure me that I am never alone. He is there. Earthly relationships may fail me, but He is always there. You remember that occasion when some people came to Jesus and they told Him that His family was there to see Him. Mark chapter 3, it's recorded there, verse 33. Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then He looked at those around Him and said, "These are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." So if you and I are in that relationship with Christ this morning, then you are living out your existence, as it were, as Jesus' mother, brother, sister, as a member of His great family. You're a child of God, and nothing or no one can take that from you. Even if for the moment, because of the circumstances going on in your life, in your family, whatever it might be, you may feel alone in this world. But given time, you will work past all the emotional stress, and you will accept the liberating fact that as a Christian, you are never alone. Never alone. When you are in a relationship with God, you are never alone. You and I must cling on to that in today's world. The letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 15. "So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into His family, calling Him Father, dear Father." As God's adopted children, we have that privilege of not just knowing God in salvation, but knowing Him in that intimate, close way, experiencing Him in our lives day by day. And it goes beyond that even. If I'm a child of God, if you are a child of God, then we can strike up meaningful relationships with one another as members of the same family. We should have that ability, that desire. In fact, isn't it part of our mandate as Christians to do that? To be involved in each other's lives, helping, encouraging, celebrating life together. I think this church is very good at that. That is one of the things that the church is for. It's not just here to worship God. Oh, that's a very real part of it. But it is also a place to minister to the needs of one another. This is the reason we emphasize or try to emphasize that so much in this church. If you're lonely, you feel you have no meaningful relationships in your life, that can be changed, that must be changed. So be sure that you accept the fact of your position this morning in God's family. Second reason for loneliness that we looked at was that some have a fear of rejection. So what is the way back from there? The way back surely is to know. It is to be assured that God will never turn you away. God will never reject you. Came across this little story. I love this. It was one summer evening during a very violent thunderstorm. And a mother was tucking her small boy into bed. She had done everything that was necessary and she was just about to switch the light off and the thunder was still crashing outside. And as she reached for the switch, she heard the tremor in his voice. She said, "Mummy, would you sleep with me tonight?" His mother looked at him and smiled, and she gave him a big reassuring hug. But she said, "I can't, sweetheart." She said, "I have to sleep with your daddy." And there was a long silence, broken once again by a trembling little voice, which from underneath the covers said, "The big sissy." Do you ever feel like a big sissy when it comes to meeting new people, when it comes to forming new and meaningful relationships with them? Many times it's because we are afraid. We are afraid of what others are going to think of us. Maybe we're at a different level from them on some of the scales that society has created. Different levels educationally, socially, financially, whatever it might be. And we're afraid, well, that person would never accept me. Unfortunately, sometimes that is the case with people. But be assured, it is never the case with God. Psalm 27, Anne read for us earlier on, verse 10, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord," what? "Will hold me close." Isn't that a wonderful picture? Even in those moments when I am most alone in this world, even in those times when those that I love most have turned their backs on me, when they have rejected me, I know that God is still there. And the psalmist could say, "I know his arms are round about me, holding me close." Smile on his face, waiting to embrace you and me in his love and in his care. You know how Jesus referred through the Gospels to those who are in a relationship with him as sheep. John 10:27, "My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else, so no one can take them from me." Take that verse to heart. While we can choose, if we wish, to reject God, God will never reject us. Instead, he watches over us, just as a shepherd watches over his sheep, just as he leads them on, as he takes care of their needs and keeps them safe and secure at all times. That's the picture here. And then the third reason that we looked at, that some people are lonely, is because they have been in abusive situations. This is a difficult one to try and answer in a few words. What is the way back for those people? What is the road to restoration? Well, I think it begins here. Seek to forgive those who have hurt you. That surely would be the Christian maxim. And I know that just as I say it, you may be saying in your own thoughts, "Well, that is impossible. If you've been in a situation like the one that I quoted to you earlier on, it seems impossible that we can forgive." If anyone has been abused sexually, emotionally, spiritually, rather than seeking to forgive, you feel that you have the absolute right to seek vengeance. I can understand that. I can understand why someone would feel that way. But in the long run, is that really the way to restoration. In the long run, you're the person that's going to continue to be hurt. When you allow all those negative feelings and emotions to well up inside you, emotions that perhaps were placed there at the time of the abuse, then they begin to rule your life, and they will prevent you from building meaningful relationships. The unwillingness to forgive those who have hurt becomes a negative kind of thing, a negative defense in our lives, a mechanism whereby every person you meet will be viewed as having the worst of intentions towards you. And that will not be the case. It keeps you from seeing others as those who could actually be kind to you, as seeing them as those who could be generous to you, as seeing them as those who have the best interests of your situation at heart. When you actually forgive those who have abused you, when you begin to forgive those who have hurt you, oh, there will still be feelings of hurt there. There will still be pain. But in the very act of forgiveness, that giant wall of defensiveness will begin to come crashing down, and you will begin then to learn to love and be loved all over again. Matthew 18:21, Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, Jesus replied, 70 times 7. Don't you suppose that in that very question, Peter was trying to find out the bare minimum requirement for pleasing God? And Jesus turned to him and he said, in effect, "Peter, look, you've got to take it further than that. You need to always forgive. And you need to do that over and over and over again." Jesus knew what he was talking about. He would face the very worst abuse that ever happened to any individual. His crucifixion was before him. Imagine being beaten, mocked. Imagine being nailed to a cross. And then from that very cross to cry out, "Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they're doing." Oh, how we need to follow his example. And at some point, difficult as it may be for the person who has been abused, we need to be able to look at those abusers and say, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them for every wrong that they have ever committed against me." And that is the road to restoration. Then and only then will you be able to experience meaningful relationships to their fullest extent. And there's the last one. The last reason that we talked about for loneliness stemmed from a broken heart. I only have a moment to touch on this. The road back from a broken heart is to give it over to God and allow God to heal your brokenness. I've said already, your heart can be broken for a variety of reasons, and I know it's painful. I know it hurts. But to break out of your loneliness, you need to allow God to heal you. You need to allow God to do a work in your life. Psalm 34:17. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close. Listen to this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. Isn't that it? There's nothing wrong with being broken. And there is nothing wrong with experiencing deep feelings of grief. But there has to come a time when we escape from all of that. When we give it all back to God, as it were, and seek Him and ask Him to heal all those wounds. Again, the psalmist, Psalm 73:25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." So when it's all said and done, we have God available. And He is ready and willing to heal all our brokenness, as His heart was broken the day that they took His Son and nailed Him to that cross. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows what it's like in your experience or in mine when our hearts are broken. He knows because He's been there, and He's able to bring healing and strength when we need it most. Loneliness. Oh, I'm sure there have been many times in the lives of each one of us, as I said at the beginning, when we have felt very, very alone in this world. Many of those times it has been our own fault, I guess. While on other occasions other people have at least contributed to that problem. But looking back, you look back in your life as I look back in mine, was it usually because we had failed to put into practice what God had designed for us? Was it that we felt all alone in this world because we had forgotten to take God into the equation? I would suggest to you that that is the case for each one of us. Let's resolve this morning that we seek His face, that we cling on to that relationship that is ours through the new birth experience, that we know Him in every situation. In the days to come, may He bless His word to us. Amen.